The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I wanted to read to you from Romans chapter 13, a very important chapter regarding government, the role of government. Paul says, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Well, that is Romans 13, 1 through 4. And we're not to be afraid of governing authorities. We're to obey governing authorities as believers in Jesus Christ, unless that governing authority is telling you to do something that violates the commands of God. You know, they told the disciples, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they said, whether it is right in the sight of God to obey you or to obey God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. Well, yesterday in our nation's capital, Donald Trump declared Liberation Day for Washington, D.C. He invoked the section of the D.C. House Rule Act that said he could federalize the control of the police department and put it under Attorney General Pam Bondi and deploy the National Guard to support the police in their efforts to rid the city of crime and violence and things like that. And all the other side went nuts. How dare he do this? MSNBC put a statistic up as Trump is talking, showing that the stats are so much reduced from last year to this year, and the violent crime and murders and all that stuff just going down. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is an overreach by the federal government. Trump is becoming a Nazi. Well, he's always been a Nazi, according to the left. But now he's showing us that he's a fascist. The mayor, Muriel Bowser, called it a power grab. It's unsettling and unprecedented. But listen, for those, I've been to D.C. one time. I didn't know when I went there. I went there during Trump's first presidency, and I didn't know that I should have done my homework, because I was walking around the city. I had forgotten a tie, and I had to buy a tie, and I had to walk around from my hotel to find out where I could buy a tie. But now I know that's probably not a smart thing to do. I should have Ubered wherever I went. But those that live in D.C., those who travel to D.C., they're the ones that will tell you this is not a safe city. I heard Megyn Kelly say, you know, I mean, you're barking up a make-believe tree if you think that D.C. is safe. So I asked AI about Washington, D.C. The murder rate. In 2024, D.C.'s murder rate was 25.5 per 100,000 residents, placing it fifth among major cities behind Memphis, Baltimore, Detroit, and Kansas City. Overall crime rate, the total crime rate in 2023 was 5,205 per 100,000 residents, with 7,100 violent crimes, 2,800 property crimes reported. This makes D.C. one of the highest crime cities in the U.S., with a crime rate 2.4 times the national average. Now, it's been reported that one of those police commanders is on suspension because he was doctoring the numbers, allegedly. He said he wasn't, but the allegations against him were that he was doing that. You are reporting stats that are not correct to make things look better, to make them look better for the mayor and for those in charge. But the reality is, it's not a safe place. This is what Donald Trump had to say about it yesterday.
City, you know, my father always used to tell me, I had a wonderful father, very smart, and he used to say, son, when you walk into a restaurant and you see a dirty front door, don't go in, because if the front door is dirty, the kitchen's dirty also. Same thing with the Capitol. If our Capitol's dirty, our whole country is dirty, and they don't respect us. So it's a very good question, actually.
So that makes good sense. Yeah, you don't want to eat at a place that doesn't care enough to keep it clean as you're walking in the door. I mean, that's going to be the telltale sign. If that's filthy, then the rest of the place is filthy. You know, one of my kind of core beliefs is people judge a place by not only the front of it, but by the bathrooms. You know, when you go to a garage or, you know, convenience store and you use their bathrooms, when you used to go to the service station to get gas and use their bathrooms, remember they make you take a key. This is back in the day, you have a key and it was connected to a something big and heavy so you wouldn't walk off with it. But those bathrooms were always filthy, and it's just like, yeah, this is just a gross place. So at First Baptist Texarkana, that's one of the things, I want the bathrooms to be really nice, because what people say is, man, if the bathrooms are this nice, just think how nice the rest of the place is. What do people say about Buc-ee's if you've ever traveled to a Buc-ee's? People will make sure that that is going to be their pit stop. Hey, we're not going to the bathroom anyplace except Buc-ee's, because going to the bathroom at Buc-ee's is like going to the Taj Mahal. I mean, it is so nice. And Buc-ee's is just an incredible place. But people, they judge a place by as soon as they walk in. That's why I think churches, it bothers me to no end when churches have a place that looks trashy. It just looks like there are weeds growing in the flower beds, and the grass hasn't been mowed, and it's not edged, and there's debris around. Oh, just turn a blind eye to that as you come in, because we have a really good worship service. But it's like, hey, it doesn't cost you a whole lot of money to clean that up. And I always likened it to this, you know, when you have people come over to your house for a dinner party or something like that, you vacuum, you clean up, you make sure the yard is mowed and manicured. You want it to look nice because you're presenting yourself to your friends, and you don't want to, you know, just like when you get up in the morning and you get ready for work or school, what do you want? You don't want to look like an unmade bed. You want to clean yourself up. You want to look, look presentable. And so a church should really look presentable. That doesn't mean you have to be opulent or ostentatious, but you need to be nice and clean and neat. And those things are important. Well, so what Trump said is really true. Now, if your city is riddled with crime, and it's riddled with filth, and it's riddled with homelessness, and that's the capital of the nation, well, something is seriously wrong. Now, you had Hillary Clinton, you had Akeem Jeffries, and they were posting, Trump is such a liar, the crime stats are down in D.C., and everything is hunky-dory. You know, they didn't say that, everything's hunky-dory, but that's the tenor. That's the sentiment, that this is ridiculous because things are going in the right direction. D.C., this is a power grab. This is just a political stunt. This is him trying to take control. Well, here was the president of the D.C. Police Union. This is what he had to say in reaction to Trump calling this Liberation Day and deploying the National Guard.
We completely agree with the president that, crime in the District of Columbia is out of control and something needs to be done with it. We have to go back to how we got here, though. In 2020, the D.C. City Council passed an enormous amount of legislation that handcuffed police officers, exposes them to administrative, civil, and even criminal liability, even when they do their jobs properly. And now, 5 years later, our authorized sworn strength is 4,000 sworn police officers. We currently have 3,180. So we have more than 800 vacancies for the position of police officer. And the way the department makes up for that gap is through 2 million hours of mandatory overtime every year. So the fact that we need help from federal law enforcement and maybe even the National Guard, it shouldn't come as a surprise, and we agree with that. I think one of the issues here, though, is that we all know that's going to be temporary. So in order to fix this problem and make sure that it doesn't ebb and flow and that the feds come in and we lower crime and then they leave and we're left holding the bag, it's very important that people know that there is underlying legislation that needs to be corrected so that we can actually properly staff this police department in order to properly police the city.
So that was the president of the D.C. Police Union agreeing with Donald Trump. Hey, we need help. Crime is out of control. Now, one of the things that that is interesting in the book of Ecclesiastes gives us this piece of wisdom. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Hey, when you come into a place and you're a mayor, you're a governor, you're the president, you want to clean this up, you say this is a disaster, what do you have to start doing? You have to start enforcing laws. You have to enact laws, if there are no laws on the books, to start cleaning things up. You know, Mayor Rudy Giuliani, he was mayor of New York City from 1994 to 2001. And under his leadership, New York was known, Central Park, getting mugged, all that stuff was just common. You didn't want to be on the street at night because it was so violent. Well, under his leadership for those years, violent crime dropped 56%. Felony crime dropped 62%. Homicides dropped 70%. Robberies and burglaries dropped 66%. Aggravated assault dropped 40%. Car theft dropped 73%. Well, how did that happen? Well, he had a broken window policy targeting minor offenses to deter major crimes. If you've ever watched the show Blue Bloods, that police show in New York City, that's what they talk about. They talk about the broken windows policy, and the police chief, PC1, I think they called him, he was going to crack down on crime because that was his job. He's the number one law enforcement officer for the city. Not only did they have the broken windows policy in New York under Mayor Rudy Giuliani, they had aggressive law enforcement, increased arrests. They had stop and frisk. They had increased police presence and zero tolerance, strict prosecution of quality of life crimes. Increased police presence. What do we hear from the left? The guy that wants to be mayor of New York now, what does he talk about? Defund the police. We've heard that from liberal cities. Defund the police. We want this to be a sanctuary city. What happens when you defund the police? Well, it's not rocket science. You defund the police, crime goes up. Think about it this way. All of us know what it's to be in school. We know what it's like to take a test. We know what it's like when the teacher is giving the test and walking around the classroom to make sure that your eyes are on your own paper. If that teacher leaves the room during a test, just police yourselves. How does that work? Not very well at all. Everybody starts to cheat. I say everybody. A lot of people cheat. Why? Because there's none righteous, not even one. When I was in college, when you'd have a big test, you'd have several proctors walking around to make sure people weren't cheating. You're not going to have less cheating if you have less supervision. You'll have more cheating. It's not rocket science. It's very, very simple. You want to eradicate crime or reduce crime significantly in the nation's capital, increase police presence and start busting criminals and putting them behind bars and enforcing the law. And that will make a difference. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Well, welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about Liberation Day yesterday in Washington, D.C. That's what Donald Trump designated the day. Liberation Day in Washington, D.C. He has invoked Section 740 of the D.C. Home Rule Act, placing the Washington, D.C. Police Department under federal control and deploying the National Guard. Now, as I said, those on the left have said this is a power grab. This is unnecessary. Crime rates are dropping in D.C. It just doesn't make sense, as people have said repeatedly, Scott Jennings and others. Anybody that visits D.C., anybody that lives in D.C. knows that the city is not safe. Now, here was an interview that ABC, liberal ABC, did when their anchor had to admit that she's not safe there.
We've been talking so much about the numbers, and yeah, usually that's how you play devil's advocate, is you talk about, oh, well, stats say crime is down. However, I can tell you firsthand here in downtown D.C. where we work, right here around our bureau, just in the past 6 months, there were two people shot. One person died literally two blocks down here from the bureau. It was within the last 2 years that I actually was jumped walking just two blocks down from here. And then just this morning, one of my coworkers said her car was stolen a block away from the bureau. So we can talk about the numbers going down, but crime is happening every single day because we're all experiencing it firsthand while working and living down here.
That was an ABC News anchor, probably no friend of Donald Trump's or the Republicans. You ask yourself the question, why would anyone be against increased police presence? Well, if you're a criminal, you're against increased police presence. If you're a criminal, you're all for defund the police. Hey, if there are no police officers around, you can do whatever you want. Nobody's going to stop you. Just like I said in the first segment. Hey, if there are no proctors around while you're taking a test, then just bring all your notes, and as soon as the teacher leaves the room, just cheat. And that's what a lot of people would do given the opportunity. So because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. When you start to enforce the law and it's swift and it's stiff, then people start to say, oh, I guess I can't do that anymore. So what did you have in California? You had laws that said, we're not going to prosecute you for shoplifting if you steal less than $1,000. Well, good grief. That's like throwing out a welcome mat that says, hey, take anything you want as long as it's under $1,000. And we all saw the videos of people just coming in and stealing things off the shelves and employees doing nothing, security guards doing nothing. Oh, you can't do anything. You're going to get in trouble. I read where one employee just said, I'm not going to allow this person to steal. And they ended up firing the employee. I mean, how ridiculous is that? And so in Oakland and other places where companies just say, we can't operate here. It just doesn't work. It's not a viable business model because we can't charge enough to overcome the loss of profitability due to theft. And so if you want to clean it up, start enforcing the laws. You want to clean it up, start adding police officers. The big, beautiful bill adds a lot of law enforcement. Now, here's something interesting. The Heritage Foundation found that 27 of the 30 most crime-ridden cities were run by Democrats. Trump talked about the no cash bail. You know, guys get arrested and they're out, you know, in just a few hours, as opposed to you get arrested and you're going to be locked up for a while and your bail is going to be stiff. And then all of a sudden guys are like, wait a minute. You know, when we were having all these protests on college campuses, you arrest those kids and you put the screws to them, and all of a sudden you've destroyed state property. You're going to do time, hard time. And then they're like, whoa, I didn't know that. You let them know up front, if you do this, this is going to be the punishment. You know, you could, if we wanted to in America, we could control speeding. If you executed everyone who was speeding, it wouldn't take very long before people said, I'm not going to speed, because when you speed, you get executed. I'm just using that as a hyperbole example. But the point is, when you start enforcing laws, good, solid laws that protect citizens, then you make it safer. You make the city safer. And that's the point of government. They don't bear the sword in vain. It's a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. Well, you know, if we're raising a generation of criminals, well, then I guess that's the way to run a city. But if you're wanting to raise a generation of honest, responsible, law-abiding citizens who treat one another as they would like themselves to be treated, then we have to enforce laws. Adrian Rogers used to say, you know, there's no law that can make you love me, so we have to have laws that prevent you from wounding me or hurting me or robbing me or killing me. Because that, you know, you have to operate in an environment where people can safely move from point A to point B. Well, here was Scott Jennings. Scott Jennings is one of the few voices of reason and sanity on CNN. He was being interviewed talking about the Liberation Day. Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing?
Do you think that is an appropriate use of those federal resources?
I do, actually. I think it's a disgrace that our nation's capital is crime-ridden. I think it's a disgrace that tourists and visitors come to Washington, D.C. and they don't feel safe. I think it's a disgrace that, you know, roving bands of teenagers are riding, you know, hundreds of dirt bikes around Washington, D.C., shooting guns, shooting off fireworks, and you have these roving bands of carjackers. It's a disgrace. This is our national capital. You shouldn't have to feel that way, whether you live there or whether you're visiting on the streets of Washington, D.C. It's a unique place because it's a federal district. It's not in a state. And I think the president, you know, has rightly decided that something has to be done. You know, it has a very high homicide rate when you compare it to other world capitals. And so I'm anxious to see how far he wants to take this. But frankly, I think for the people who live there and the people who visit there, they're going to welcome extra police presence on the street. That carjacking that happened to the White House staffer the other night, you know, there were a couple of cops sitting there. Had they not been sitting there and witnessed that, I don't know what would have happened to that poor kid. He got beat up by 10 people, a 10-person gang. And so I think the more patrols you have, whether it's park police or whoever, the safer people will feel going around our nation's capital.
I don't think you can deny that. And we want it to be safe. We want our city. And most people, anybody that's got a compass of good and evil, some kind of, you know, rudimentary sense of this is right, this is wrong, attacking somebody, robbing somebody, obviously wrong. But our court system in these liberal cities, they don't seem to think that's wrong. Here's what the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. That's so aptly describes what the court systems in these liberal cities are doing. They are justifying the wicked for a bribe. Many of them, there's some kind of kickback. They're getting something, you know, unless they're just so committed to this liberal ideology of socialism and, you know, all the woke agenda and all that stuff. They justify the wicked for a bribe. Many of them are getting some kind of quid pro quo, some kind of kickback, and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. Well, that's not the purpose of government. That is a rotten, corrupt government. That is a banana republic. And Trump is cleaning that up. And frankly, that's why so many people voted for him. Now, we hear on the left, you know, they're decrying of what's going on with ICE, and they're destroying families and tearing families apart. You know, they asked Tom Holman about that. I was watching Dr. Phil was on Bill Maher. They were asking him about that. That's why you voted for Trump. You want Trump to separate families? And, you know, Dr. Phil said, well, that's a bunch of baloney. He said, if you commit a crime, you know, you're driving DUI and you got a minor in the car, they're going to arrest you. They're going to separate you from your child because you're being arrested. And people who are in this country illegally, well, they've committed a crime. And, you know, the ICE officers, the law enforcement officers, they're just enforcing the law. I think it was Kristi Noem who pushed back on a reporter that was, you know, vilifying what they were doing. She said, we're just enforcing the law. We didn't make the law. None of these officers made the law. The Congress made the law. And if you don't like the law, then get the law changed. But it's not our prerogative to just say, well, we're blowing off the law. We're just going to enforce what we want to enforce. And so Donald Trump wants to enforce the law, and he's a law and order president. But the left hates him. No matter what he does, they hate him. I want to make Washington, D.C. A shining star for America. Oh, we hate that. I want to make it safer. Oh, we hate that. I want to clean up homelessness and the filth that goes with it. Oh, we hate that. Why would you hate that? That doesn't make sense. But, you know, sometimes on social media, I'll get in, you know, in conversations with people, and some of them are friends, and I want to be careful because they're so brainwashed that Democrat is good, Republican is bad, that they can't see straight, and they hate Trump so much that they just can't. If Trump is for it, I'm against it. I don't care what it is. And so, you know, they're always, yeah, but what about this and what about that and what about the other? And it's like, take a step back and look at the big picture. So when it comes to crime, who wants to defund the police? It's not Republicans. It's not conservatives. It's liberal Democrats who want to defund the police. And Danny, that is running for mayor of New York, that's what he wants to do, defund the police. He wants to make New York City a communist city. How in the world that guy could get any traction is beyond me. Who wants to cut the police budget? The liberals, the liberal Democrats want to do that. Who want to vilify officers and ICE agents? The Democrats do that. Not only do they want to do it, they do that. Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer and the leaders in the Democrat AOC and Jasmine Crockett, they all do that. Who supports the criminals and the illegal aliens like Abrego Garcia? The Democrats. And so it's like, good night. I mean, if you just take the Trump derangement syndrome out of the equation and say, surely you're not for protecting criminals and vilifying victims. Surely you're not for more crime. Surely you're not for less police presence and defunding the police so there is no police. That would make absolutely no sense at all. You just lead to anarchy And then we just became, we become a nation full of gangs and drug lords, and it's Lord of the Flies, or Lord of Flatbush. I forget what it's called. Anyway, it just becomes gang wars. You're like Colombia at that point. Well, that's not how America was founded. And here's one of the big problems. As John Adams said, you know, the founding fathers created a document and a constitution for a moral and religious people. Well, we don't have that anymore. He said it is thoroughly inadequate for the governance of anyone other than a moral and religious people. And that's how it was set up. And one of the reasons we're in the trouble we're in is because people aren't moral and religious. There's no fear of God in the eyes of people. And if you don't have the fear of God, then you've given yourself to do evil. You do whatever's right in your own eyes. And the fear of the Lord has you police yourself. The fear of the Lord keeps you from evil. The fear of the Lord keeps you from responding in anger towards somebody who cuts you off in traffic, where you want to pull out a gun and shoot them. It's the fear of the Lord. Well, we've lost that. And America desperately needs to get back to the fear of the Lord. That's my word for this year. You know, you'd like to have a word that kind of guides you for this year, and mine is that phrase, the fear of the Lord. And I'm asking God to do a deep work in me that I would fear him more. Wednesday night I'm preaching. Tomorrow night I'm preaching on our God being a consuming fire, Hebrews chapter 12. And so we are to approach him with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Well, we are up against a break, and here's the question I want to leave you with, and then I'm going to open the phone lines because I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts on Donald Trump cracking down on crime in Washington, D.C.? Are you for that, or are you against that? Do you think what he's doing is a power grab? Do you think it's overstepping his bounds, or do you think it's a good thing? Do you think that he is trying to help people rather than hurt people? The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And so give me a call and let's talk about that. Your thoughts on Trump cracking down on crime. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, right here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking about Liberation Day in Washington, D.C. That's what Donald Trump declared yesterday, August 11th, 2025, as. And he is putting the police under the authority of the federal government, under Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, and he was adding in the National Guard. He's going to clean up the city. He's going to make it safe again. And as we've been referring, Genesis or Romans chapter 13, what is the role of government? What is government supposed to do for us? Government does way more than it's supposed to do. It's overstepped its bounds in many different areas. But one of the primary areas, the reasons that God set up government for rulers, are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. It is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. That is what government is for, a big chunk of what it is for. It's an avenger who brings wrath upon evil. It has the sword. The sword is not there to give you swats. The sword is there to cut your head off. The sword is there to take people who are violent, people who murder, people who rape, people who do these terrible, horrible things, and get them out of society. Because those people are a danger. They're a danger to everyone around them. And one of the key things of government is to keep the citizenry safe, keep the public areas safe for mom and dad and families and kids and older people, so it's not just overrun with gangs. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And here's the question. What are your thoughts on Trump cracking down on crime, on being a law and order president, and what he's doing in Washington, D.C.? That could maybe spill over to other cities, and how do you feel about that? And so we have Jason on the line from Texas. Jason, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Jason. How are you?
Oh, driving a truck as usual. As far as Donald Trump cracking down on crime in Washington, D.C., not only do I think we need to do it in Washington, D.C., we need to do it across this country, because this is becoming the wild, wild west. And I just wanted to say that any Democratic politician that is against police presence or against police protection, they should have their security details removed immediately and see what they think about protection at that point.
Yes, it's kind of the ultimate in hypocrisy for those guys to be saying defund the police while they have all their paid security around them to protect them. Good point, Jason.
Thank you, sir. You have a blessed day.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for calling in. We have Fred on the line from Mississippi. Fred, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. I've been listening to AFR for over 25 years. I've been hearing your program every morning.
Well, thank you.
And you're making a lot of good points, and I'm glad you're not a Calvinist. But I get to what I call for.
Okay.
I agree with the conservatives and Donald Trump about trying to put down crime in Washington, D.C., taking over the security and the police force and try till they get the murders and the criminals under control.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to say also that you talk about people have a mental illness living on the streets and all that stuff and can't take care of themselves because the places where they used to be stationed in where they could be controlled and help them out. But
right.
This is the main thing. I want to say being a Democrat is a mental disorder. There's no other way you can look at it. They, to stand for what they stand for, they have a mental problem. They used to talk about 20, 30 years ago that it was actually a disorder. But I just don't believe that people in the Democratic, they say, well, I don't stand for defunding police. But if you vote for a Democrat to be in office, you're as bad as the ones that are stand for abortion and the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff, we need help, and I keep up the good work talking about these things, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, Fred. I appreciate that. Well, it definitely doesn't make sense. Like I say, I have Christian friends that come at me sometimes, not in a you know, an awful way, but just push back and they're, well, but Trump did this and Trump did that and Trump did the other. And it's like, yeah, I get it. That guy is, I mean, he's not the Apostle Paul, although the Apostle Paul did bad things in his life too when he was Saul of Tarsus. But Trump wants to do what is good for the country. He wants to do what is good for the people. And people are, you know, that say, well, Trump is just greedy. He's just all about it. He's just all about the money. It's all for him. It's all for power, whatever. He's the only guy that I've ever heard of that serves as president tirelessly and doesn't take a salary. His first term, he lost, what, a third of his wealth as a result of serving as president? I mean, if you think about it from his perspective, his life really took a turn for the worse in terms of public perception and the media when he threw his hat in the political ring. Before that, he was the darling of the left. Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar and all these people that hate his guts now, they used to like him. And they used to, you know, hey, let's get him on and let's, you know, we want to hear from Donald and Barbara Walters. And but now they, you know, those people hate his guts. There's never been a guy hated in politics like Donald Trump. So he could have done himself, what should I say? I mean, he could have had a much easier life had he just stayed out of the arena, but he didn't. Because he wanted to make a difference, and he has made a huge difference. And many of us can learn from him in this way. Don't quit. It's always too early to quit. Keep on going. You've heard me say that he's a Timex watch. He takes a licking but keeps on ticking. He's got perseverance. And most people would have said, I'm out. I give. I'm sick of this. And being, you know, vilified in the media constantly, but he didn't. He kept fighting. And the, you know, when he got shot in Butler, Pennsylvania, and he comes up with blood streaked across his face, and he says those words, "Fight, fight, fight." I don't care what you think about him. That was historic, and that is a word to every Christian. I'm preaching through the book of Jude. And Jude tells us to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints. He tells us to fight. That's what contend earnestly is. Fight with all your strength for the faith. Speak the truth in love, correcting those who are in opposition, and lifting up the name of Jesus. We fight to pass along the baton of faith to the next generation, because Christianity is always just one generation from extinction. If we don't make a good pass of the baton to our children and grandchildren, and they have the faith without pollution from the enemy, we lose. And that's never going to happen, because the Lord is not going to allow that to happen. But we have an opportunity to be a part of that or to miss out on that. And God is not going to make us do that. He invites us to walk with him. He doesn't make us walk with him. And we have a decision every day, every Christian, to Romans 12, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And every day we just yield ourselves anew and afresh to Jesus. I want you to use my life. I want you to be glorified in me. And I'm going to stand up for the truth, as Jesus said to the church in Smyrna, Revelation chapter 2. 3 verse 10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. So that is our word before the Lord. So it's Revelation, that's going to bug me. I think it's 2 verse 10. But at any rate, be faithful unto death. Yeah, Revelation 2:10, the letter to the church of Smyrna. Well, thank you, Fred, for the call. We have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you. I have just been blessed by listening to what you're speaking to that other man. It's like even the things you're, you know, well, I'll tell you. And I have a scripture, but I wrote down here while I was listening to this. I tell people, and I turn people on to AFR. I mean, I am just always, but real news, you're going to get real news and not fake news. That's my word to them. It's like, so I just wanted to say that. But the scripture that I wanted to share was Proverbs 21, verse 1. A king's heart is like channeled water in the Lord's hand. He directs it wherever he chooses. And I really feel like our president's heart is being, you know, channeled by the Lord. And, you know, I feel like, and the man is just so loving. That's the thing. I mean, love to me is a key to a lot of things. If we did more loving and less judging. But that's the scripture I wanted to share. There's three women, and we get together every Wednesday to pray for this nation. And, you know, just, and all three of us listen to AFR. So.
Oh, well,
that's what I wanted to share.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Linda. Tell your group, thank you for listening, and thank you for praying for America. We need more and more people to do that. And so 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, revival begins in us. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so may your prayer meeting, Linda, spread out all across our nation, and that prayer meetings would be popping up everywhere. We pray every Saturday night at First Baptist Texarkana. I've been doing this for, gosh, probably 20 years. We gather at 6:30. We pray for 45 minutes or so. We pray for Sunday. We pray for our nation. We pray for needs, because we know that God answers prayer. As it says in Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. Well, thank you, Linda. We have Wayne on the line from Arkansas. Wayne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, Pastor Jeff. I lived in D.C. over 30 years ago and was on the fringe of law enforcement at that time. And I saw the corruption that was in the District of Columbia at that time, to the mayor at that time. And I, of course, have lost contact with what's going on up to this point. But it was a terrible place at that time to live because of crime. Mm-hmm. And I commend the president for what he's doing. And one of the things that troubled my heart deeply was, as a Christian, my friend and I, who from the church, visited the delinquent detention center in the D.C. area, and it was sad to see what was going on there. And I don't know if that's changed that much, but if these people that were in those detention centers as young people were released into the community and they've propagated, they probably have bred some of the corruption that's still present there. And the mayor that was the mayor of D.C. at that time did not set any examples for the people to, or the police department was not taking care of things as they should. So, as a Christian, we did what we could as far as visiting the particular detention centers and bringing the gospel to these people. But I say, I just, again, applaud the president for what he's doing, because this is our nation's capital. It is should be the shining city on a hill for people to look at, and when they see what's been going on. And I like the analogy the president made with a dirty front door.
Yes.
Don't eat.
Yes, that's a good word for sure. We have time for one more call. John in Ohio. John, we have about a minute left. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Interesting conversation. I'm totally opposed to President Trump's nationalizing the police force in Washington, D.C. He could be no further from a Christian than any president that we've had in this country. He worships money. He worships false idols.
Mm-hmm.
He's a convicted sex abuser.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I appreciate that, John. We're out of time. I appreciate you sharing your opinion there. For a guy that worships money, it's amazing how he's given up so much money to help our country and to make the streets safer in D.C. and other places. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.